Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And due to some unusual circumstances, I wasn't live in the first half of the show, but I am right now. So just know that you're going to be able to call into the station and we'll be able to take your calls. And what I wanted to do was share with you today, because today was going to be an open mic day, and again, because of circumstances, we ended up with a situation where the first half ended up being of such a patterning that we were replaying another program, but now again, we are open mic, so you're going to be able to call in. Now, I wanted to say that while I've been on the road traveling back here on the East Coast, some interesting material has been brought to my attention, and one of those items was all about but nutritional supplements. And I don't know about you, but they're a very significant part of my life. They always have been something that I was aware of, but I never realized until I matured how important it was to be able to take care of yourself by taking nutritional supplementation. We often in today's world don't get those nutrients that we need in our food. So when we're able to do it with this additional supplementation, add to what it is that we're lacking, we're going to come out way ahead. So it is something, when you can be aware of that, it really does a lot of good. Look at how many experts that I've had on my program that have talked about the benefits of supplementation. Jack LaLanne, one of my favorite people, he is a man, he's, my goodness, for years, he has had supplements of one kind or another. So you need to be aware that this is something I still believe in. However, this is some of the latest information that has come out. There's a Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is a heart surgeon, and he's appeared on various national programs, and he said there's so much that is being sold on the shelves that we're not aware of. Are you aware that they've discovered in some ginkgo pills, lead, arsenic in some herbals, bugs in syrup for babies' colic and teething, there's toxic metals, parasites, all kinds of things have been found in what has been described as natural products and dietary supplements. So since there is no major regulation regarding this, they say they decided they were going to do some testing. Now, there was an independent company that did this, and one quarter of the supplements that they tested had some kind of a problem. They found there were contaminants. Others had contents that did not match the label claims. Some had ingredients that exceeded safe limits, and some contained real drugs that were masquerading as natural supplements. Now, there was a Dr. Todd Cooperman. He's the president of ConsumerLab.com, and this company tests all kinds of medicines and various pills for those people that make them that want to have a seal of approval on the product, and they will also publish the ratings for subscribers. And there's, like, Consumer Reports. We all know about Consumer Reports. Well, this lab does this with nutritional supplements. This is what they're known for. And they found many of the prenatal vitamins were lacking what was considered the healthy amount for moms of iodine, and supplements that were short on ginseng and hoodia, which is an African plant that has been really, really popular in dietary supplements. And this is what he said. He said there's at least 10 times more hoodia sold in this country than it's made in the world. So people are not getting it when they're taking this. Also, there are quality programs. Now think about what we've gone through relative to dog foods and other things, and we get very, very upset over that. Well, again, standards have been set, and we try to enforce those standards as much as we can. However, he said he believed that the problem was rather narrow and that there are very fine companies that are well established and they have very good brands and they do live up to what they say they do. Now, Michael McGriffin, he's the president of the American Herbal Products Association. Now, this is important for you to be aware of because when you are alert to these various groups, many times they're doing what we call police work, trying to find out who in their industry is really coming up to par and who isn't. Also, if something's coming from outside of the country, is this something that people want to take? What kind of controls are being done at the production facilities of these items brought in from outside of the country? Now, also, they are evaluating prescription drugs. Yes, we all know how prescription drugs have their problems as well. Now, there was last year a situation where there was tainted heparin. Now, this is a blood thinner, and this was produced in China. Now, they found there was a lot of problems with that, and a lot of people died from taking the contaminated heparin. So they have to really come up to par on a lot of things. And 15 years ago, apparently Congress passed a law that treated supplements like food and allowed them to go straight to market without being regulated, determining what the quality standards should be. So they are really getting closer, I think, to trying to regulate the nutritional supplementation industry to be sure that whatever we get on the shelves in our stores is really going to be what it's supposed to be. So they said if a supplement was harmful, in the past we've had to have so many adverse events before we could make a move on taking it off the shelf, it was really like closing the barn door after all of the animals left. Now, this was by William Obermeyer, a statement made by him. He was a chemist who left the FDA to found his own consumerlab.com, and it's working out very nicely for him. And these are companies that are very stringent with their testing facilities, and so when they make a statement, usually they've got all the data to back it up. Now, they said that the FDA could write quality control rules for products sold in the United States, but, you know, it's taken them years, 13 years plus, to even get around to following through with it. However, these rules on the products do not say what tests companies must do to prove what is in their products, and some tests can be fooled by substituting other ingredients. Also, I found to my surprise that these rules set no limits on toxins such as lead, nor do they change the way the products are sold. So it's something that we want to be aware of. You know, millions of us, yes, I'm one of you, taking vitamins, herbal, or other dietary supplements. Do you know the annual sales in this country exceed $23 billion? And more than 40,000 products are on the market, and tens of thousands of supplement-related health problems are handled by the U.S. Poison Control Centers each year. Now, this is a report that was done by the New England Journal of Medicine, and this was in 2002. So things are changing little by little. But, you know, as consumers, we also have to be aware that we have to check things out. And I found on some supplements that had come in from China, they had a little statement, traces of lead in with these herbal supplements. What is a trace? How much is it? You don't want to take toxic materials into your system. So sort of being your own kind of a police person really does make a difference. Donna Sebo here. I am broadcasting live from Virginia, and this is an open mic day. So give me a call. The number is up on the website, and you can go ahead and give me a call if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, by the way, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Linda and Alan Anderson. They have put together an absolutely fabulous book called Angel animals. And this is so special. When I reviewed the book, I was just so impressed with how they'd included animals, all kinds, anything from a snake to an iguana to whatever you can imagine, llamas, dogs, cats. I mean, it's just wonderful. And all of these are true stories. So we're going to be talking with Linda and Alan tomorrow. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about easy reflexology with Pauline Will. And this is something that is fascinating. I don't know about you, but I have had foot reflexology done, and reflexology, easy reflexology, is so much fun to use because you can start using it right away on yourself and maybe even try it on someone else. So all of that is coming up this week, and again, this broadcast is going to be coming live from Virginia, and I'm not sure where I'm going to be tomorrow, but I think I'm still going to be in Virginia Beach. This is a traveling microphone, and we are on the road. That's all I can say to you, on the road, and it is just going to be one very dynamic week, and then I'll be back in my office as of next week, broadcasting from my own home base. Donna Sebo here, and what I wanted to share with you today also was some information on the environment. This is something I know all of you have had a very strong interest in, and if you're like me, recycling has become a very significant part of your life. So this is some quotes and information that I thought you might be interested in. Are you aware that the recycling is the third of the three R's of sustainability? The first two are reduce and reuse, and if you can, avoiding something like using a cloth bag for shopping instead of using plastic. And if you forget the cloth bag and you get plastic or paper bags, reuse them before you recycle them. Now, here on the East Coast, they have containers outside of grocery stores where if you have plastic bags, you just pop them right into this recycle container. So they've got some things going there, recycling glass, recycling metal. All of this is very, very important. And also, there is throughout the country clubs and groups that are offering items that you no longer need on various list servers. You can seek out your local groups, such as Off the Chain, which is up in Anchorage, Alaska. It's an organization that really likes to recondition and pass on old bicycles. So there are these people that are getting together saying, whatever we might have, instead of just dumping it, why not use it? Bicycles are wonderful. There are so many kids that would just love to have one. So if you find one, you don't want one anymore, there are groups that you can go to, say, hey, take the bike. Craigslist is a terrific way of recycling. But in your own community, clothes, there's appliances, there's so many things that can be utilized, and parts can be taken out, can be used, can be replaced. So check around in your area to find out what is going to be important. And also, of course, we all know about sorting recyclables. It's just really going to be that way for a while until they figure out how we can do it more efficiently and effectively. And a very important thing, remember that the bottles and cans, you want to be sure you rinse them out because depending on the processing that's being used, I know in my neighborhood, if you put in paper products that have had a lot of food on them, something like this, they can't use it. They can't do it. And be sure you bundle up all your clean plastic bags, as I said before, take them to a collection bin at your grocery store, or if you have, like around here on the East Coast, they have these bins outside of stores, etc. You can just put those bags in. But just remember, you can make a difference. And it's fun to get the kids involved. I wanted to share something with you. My flight was on Alaska Airlines, and this is an airline that has really been involved in recycling, and it's been doing it for years. So they find that they will take like the 7 million beverage cans that they've had on the planes every year. They recycle those, but then in 2007, their personnel came up with a concept of gathering newspapers for recycling, glass bottles, plastic bottles, and cups, and cardboard boxes they've added into their program. Even the magazine, the Alaska Airline magazine that they have on the plane that you take for free every month, that goes into the recycling as well. In fact, the paper that they use in their magazine is recycled. And to date, they've collected 6 tons of recyclables at the airline's primary hub in Seattle. 6 tons just from that one location. So they, on the ground, they're recycling everything from engine oil to CDs, from antifreeze to plastic wrap. And they had this year their annual Earth Day e-cycle event in Seattle, and their employees brought in 16,000 pounds of consumer electronics to be reused and recycled. They said, we are passionate about this. We have our Alaskan Airline Green Team. And she said, even in our remote locations we fly to, like Kodiak and Bethel, their employees have found ways to recycle solid waste in those areas. It's amazing what people can do when they get their minds together, when they start doing what they know they need to do. It is incredible the results that will be there. Now, I want to share a fabulous recipe with you. And so if you can quickly go get yourself a pad of paper and a pen, this is going to be absolutely yum. I was just talking about Alaska. I know it was the airline, but how would you like, maybe for the 4th of July or for some absolutely wonderful summer holiday, to fix a scrumptious ice cream sundae baked Alaska? Now, this was served on a cruise ship that I was on once, and they were just absolutely spectacular. They had them blazing with, you know, the sparklers that so often you have with the 4th of July celebration. But this you can do at home, blow everybody away with this spectacular dessert. So if you've got that pad of paper and that pen, here is the recipe. You're going to need one container that's 1.5 quarts of cherry chocolate chip ice cream. Cherry chocolate chip ice cream, and it's going to need to be a little bit softened, not melted, but a little bit softened. You're going to need 1/3 cup of rainbow sprinkles, 1/3 cup of rainbow sprinkles, 1/3 cup of hot fudge sundae topping, 1/3 cup of that, 3 cups of vanilla ice cream, slightly softened, and then you need a package of frozen pound cake. And that pound cake needs to be thawed. You might want to bake your own if you've really got a super family recipe. Just remember, it should be about 10 3/4 ounces in weight. That's what you're going to be looking for, is that kind of weight. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of meringue powder, and then 12 tablespoons of sugar, and some maraschino cherries for garnish. Now, this is how easy this is. You're going to need to line a 2.5 quart, and that's 8.5 inches in diameter, a 2.5 quart freezer-proof bowl with some plastic wrap to overhang the edge by about 4 inches. Now, you just put that all inside your glass dish or whatever bowl you're using, and you want to make sure you've got ample saran wrap that's going over the edges. Now, you want to evenly spread half of your softened cherry ice cream in the bottom of the bowl. And you want to sprinkle that then with your sprinkles, your rainbow sprinkles, and you want to freeze it until it's set. And usually, give or take at the time, it's going to be at about 1 hour. Now, in a microwave-safe bowl, once that's frozen, you want to microwave your fudge topping on high in about 15-second intervals until it's nice and soft. And you want to stir it then until it's creamy smooth. And you want to take your softened 3 cups of vanilla ice cream, put it over the sprinkles. Then you take that fudge topping and you spread it all over the vanilla ice cream. Are you salivating yet? If you're not, you can't be an ice cream lover. So you put that fudge sauce over, then you put it back in the freezer. Again, it sets for 1 hour. And once that has set, Then you take it out, put the remaining softened cherry ice cream over the topping. So you might want to, while this is going on, put your cherry ice cream in the refrigerator so it stays soft, but it doesn't totally become liquid on you. And then what you want to do, after you've put that cherry ice cream, what's left over this other batch, you want to trim the short ends from your pound cake and cut it crosswise into 7, not quite 1-inch thick slices. And you want to cover the ice cream with the slices, and you push it down into the ice cream, cover it with your plastic wrap, and then you put it in the freezer and let it sit overnight, at least 8 hours. Now, when you're getting ready to serve this, when you're getting ready to serve it, you're going to need to preheat your oven to 425 degrees. This is when, just before serving, on a medium speed, you beat your meringue powder with a half a cup of water and the 6 tablespoons of sugar until they all combine well. And then you move the speed of the mixer up to medium high and you beat it for 5 minutes. And then gradually beat in the remaining 6 tablespoons of sugar. And you keep beating that meringue until it's stiff and really glossy. It's going to take you about 3 to 5 minutes. You take your bowl that you've had in the freezer, have a nice platter that you can put it on. You uncover your bowl, put your baking sheet over the bowl, invert it, remove the bowl and the plastic wrap. You spread your meringue over that inverted mound of ice cream and fudge sauce and sprinkles and pound cake. And you put it on the baking sheet. You know, you just put it right there. Spread your meringue over this, and it's going to seal it to the baking sheet. You want that meringue to go right down onto that baking sheet. You put it in that hot oven. Set your timer. It's only for 5 minutes. That's all. The meringue should turn a beautiful golden brown. Immediately, as soon as it's golden, you remove it, and with 2 good wide spatulas. And if you have somebody in the kitchen there with you, maybe they can hold the baking pan. You remove the ice cream, your ice cream sundae baked Alaska to your serving plate, and you garnish it with cherries. It is just going to be the hit of the day. So my recommendation is if you're going to be doing this for a good-sized crowd, make sure you have somebody in the kitchen there with you so it can be a smooth transition from oven to serving plate and then presenting it to people. It is just going to be absolutely awesome. And remember, even though it's in the oven, the meringue is an insulation for that frozen ice cream. And that ice cream is solid like a brick. So the meringue is insulating it, and it is not going to melt on you. It's just incredibly beautiful and delicious. I know that you would enjoy it. Donna Sebo here. I'm broadcasting live from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I wanted to let you know again, we're going to be having Linda and Alan Anderson on tomorrow afternoon. And so we're going to be talking animals. Tell your friends about the show. It's just going to be a delight. For those of you who are employed and you are wondering, what can you do to make your job secure? How can you handle things so that you are not feeling so vulnerable? While I've been traveling, I've had conversations with people who have gone through downsizing with their companies, and they just are sitting on pins and needles. And they're saying, I'm just scared. It may be me. I may be next. Well, sometimes what you want to do is realize that you want to increase, actually boost your value in the workplace and perhaps even your job security. So these are some wonderful tips that I think that Marcus Buckingham has put out that are worthy of listening to. First tip, he says, is make yourself indispensable. You want to be someone that people feel they would be lost if they didn't have you around, if you are willing to go that extra mile. So be sure you're willing to help those that maybe are in your environment, but also give your very best no matter what. And be aware, the bosses may be just as concerned about the economy as you, the employee, are. After all, the bottom line affects them too. So be sure you let your boss know that you want to know everything you possibly can do to help out. Also, you need to find out where you really want to be. Refine your skills so that as you are able to bring more and more, let's say, to the table in the way of expertise, you're also keeping your skills sharpened and maybe expanding them in a new way. Be aware also, network with people. You may think being a social butterfly can be a negative, but that doesn't mean you're just schmoozing. It means you develop associations with people. And do you know, most jobs are found through people that you already know, people that know about your work ethic, know about who you are and what you can do. I know of one woman, she's in a situation, the company has gone through major downsizing and it may be gone. What she did, she knows all of her colleagues, they've decided they were going to form a business together. So making those connections with people and being an expert in your area can serve you in multiple ways. Don't be afraid of that. This is Donna Siebel. Tomorrow, broadcasting live again from Virginia. We'll be back here on BBS Radio, same time, same place. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care. God bless. I'll be back with you live tomorrow. Talk to you then.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.